Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast. Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England. I'm your host, Amelia, and today I'm joined in studio by Don Cristofaro. Don has been a paranormal investigator for almost 20 years. He co-founded the Greater Boston Paranormal Associates Group, and with his group has investigated the most active locations in the Northeast, including, but not limited to, the Lizzie Borden House, Fort Revere in Hull, Mass., and what we're going to be talking about most of tonight, which is the USS Salem, which is currently harbored in Quincy, Massachusetts. So, Don, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. So, do you want to start by giving us a little background into how you got into the paranormal field?
Sure. I mean, unlike a lot of investigators, I really never had any experiences or anything like that. I just had an imagination when I was a kid, and I liked to read, you know, while other people were reading Robert Louis Stevenson and people like that, I was reading Hans Holzer, and it's just kind of what got me going. And then when I was in high school, my brother gave me a copy of John Keel's Mothman Prophecies, and that was the end.
Nice.
I decided that that was something I wanted to explore a little bit more thoroughly. So that was really it. It wasn't anything, no incident or anything that got me going. Just something that always interested me.
That's great. And then when it came time to form your group, did you just meet some people and decide that this is what we're all doing now, or?
No, it was a little more complicated than that. I mean, you know, there are so many groups, especially, you know, more all the time. So really, I didn't do anything formally until I started going to the ship. And honestly, I started going to the ship before I knew it was haunted. Because I'm a Navy guy and I worked at the shipyard where the ship is. And so I always loved the ship being there. And it wasn't until I'd been going down there that I realized that it was haunted. So I met a few other people and we put together a group, but you know, things happen. It merged with another group and that wasn't a very pleasant experience. So, time went by and at some point Pat Connors, who's the co-founder of my group, Pat and I had been through all of that stuff together. And at some point we decided that we were going to do it right. And I think that's what we've done. I really do.
That's awesome. And so with the USS Salem, you guys are in charge of, you run all the haunted tours, correct?
It's, you know, theoretically anybody could book the ship to do a paranormal tour. But we run most of the tours. The tours are primarily booked through us. And that's part of what I mean when I say we do the right things. You know, we tailor our tours to the guests. You know, we have groups that are experienced investigators. When they come aboard, we pretty much leave them alone to let them do their thing. Obviously, we help them in terms of guiding them around the ship. But as far as their investigation stuff, that's what they do. And we kind of leave them alone. But then we have groups of people who've never done any investigating. And what we do in that case, we have some what we call guest kits. Well, they have the basic equipment. They have a K2 meter and a laser thermometer and a grid laser and an EMF detector and a couple of other things so that the guests can kind of do their own investigation. We stay with them, of course. And they really love it. I mean, you know, handling the equipment themselves and, kind of feeling like they're the investigators. Everybody loves it. Like I said, I think that's the right way to go. I think we've really found a niche there.
It sounds like fun. I know a lot of people would be, and I know a lot of people do that and they love it. And I just think that's so interesting. And I also loved on your website, you have Ghost Hunting 101 on there for kind of people looking to get into things.
Sure.
Which I think that's awesome.
Sure. Well, it's important. I mean, you know, so many, and anybody who tells you they're an expert, well, that they know everything, obviously, is lying to you. So, you know, that page that you're talking about, it's updated periodically and it's not all fact. There's some opinion there, as there kind of has to be.
Yeah.
You know, the only people that actually know what's going on, well, they don't talk all that often. So, I didn't say they don't talk. But I think it's important. And, you know, that page, we talk about what different kinds of spirits are and pareidolia and how that affects what people see and all that kind of stuff. I'm glad you saw it. I wish more people in my own group would take a look at it.
So on the USS Salem, do you want to give us a little history of the ship? Because the ship itself, besides the ghosts, has, I mean, it's interesting.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Salem is the only heavy cruiser left in existence. It was one of three sister ships that was built right after World War II. It's about 700 feet long, so it's a big beast. At the time it was decommissioned, it was the biggest warship in the world.
Wow.
Other than aircraft carriers, it was the biggest warship in the world. It has 8-inch guns, which were the biggest ship-mounted guns on the planet at that time.
What does an 8-inch gun mean?
I'm not a gun person. It's basically the diameter of the ship.
Oh, okay, okay.
I mean, and they're small, you know, relatively the Massachusetts down in Fall River has 16-inch guns. Wow. You know, that's a battleship. And, anyway, the Salem was only commissioned, was only in service for about 10 years, 1949 to 59. And she spent most of that time in the Mediterranean with the 6th Fleet. She alternated with one of her sister ships as the flagship of the 6th Fleet. She went back and forth between there and Boston, which was her home port. She spent a little bit of time in Cuba. But primarily she went back and forth between, Boston and the Mediterranean. Hmm. She was well known there because she was the biggest ship in the area. A lot of the countries that were the smaller countries that were in the area liked having the ship around. In fact, she was getting ready to go out of service when there was a coup in Lebanon and I'm reluctant to say prime minister or president of Lebanon requested from the Navy that the Salem hang around for an extra period of time, because with the Salem there, he was confident that things would stay relatively under control. So she was pretty well known. And she was decommissioned in 1959. I think by that point, you know, everybody was building submarines, and she wasn't built for that. You know, she was built to slug it out with other ships like her, and that kind of war just wasn't going to happen anymore. So kind of outlived her usefulness.
Now the ship is part of a museum, correct, over in Quincy?
The United States Naval Shipbuilding Museum. The shipyard in Quincy, the Florida shipyard, which when I worked there, when I got out of the Navy and worked there, it was General Dynamics. Prior to that, it was Bethlehem Steel. The Bethlehem Steel Quincy shipyard built more ships during World War II than any other single location in the world. If I know we were going to talk about it, I'd have brushed up on the numbers, but the numbers are staggering. The number of ships that they built there during the war. It's the kind of thing that you look back at and you say, nowadays, you know, there's just no way they could muster the manpower and the effort. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful take. I mean, you know, obviously we do paranormal stuff, but the museum areas are beautiful. It's open all weekend, during the day. And it's a beautiful place to take your kids and walk around. The ship's wide open. And the museum areas are all in the lower levels. So it's really a nice place. The museum is a beautiful take.
So now to the ghosts. Who haunts it? Is it one or two people? Are there multiple ghosts all over the place?
Yeah, there are ghosts all over the place. You know, what happened with the ship, the Salem never saw any combat. But when she was in the Mediterranean in 1953, there was a really bad earthquake on one of the Greek islands. And she was the hospital for all intents and purposes. So she was only there for about 3 days. But the numbers, you're talking about staggering numbers, the number of people that came on and off the ship for medical treatment is just mind-boggling. And clearly a lot of them passed away on the ship, which is why there are a lot of spirits of civilians aboard the ship.
Wow.
When she came back from Greece, she was in Brooklyn at the Naval Shipyard, and there was an accident on the ship that was moored outboard of her, and a lot of those sailors were brought aboard the Salem for treatment, and a lot of those guys didn't make it. There was a lot of burns in that case, and that's something that manifests itself on the ship occasionally. And there was another similar accident where a destroyer, when they were out at sea, had an explosion, and those guys were brought aboard the Salem, and some of them passed away. So it's kind of a cliche by now, but I always tell people, I would be very surprised if there was a naval ship in history that never saw combat but saw as much death as as the sale. The numbers are just unbelievable.
Yeah, that's awful. So how did you, you said you were working there at the shipyard, and you realized it was very haunted.
Well, no, the shipyard was long gone. Okay. I went to the ship came back to Quincy in 1993 mm-hmm. to open as a museum.
Okay.
And there was some kind of an event that they were putting on down there, and because I, like my father and my brothers, did the Quincy Point Italian thing, that is to say, you got out of high school, you joined the Navy, you got out of the Navy, you worked at the shipyard, you know, I was asked to give a little speech about growing up down the point with the shipyard and what it was like and all this stuff. And that day, after I finished, one of the volunteers said to me, "Hey, you know, did you even know the ship was haunted?" And I said, "Yeah, sure it is." And I was ready to leave. And he said, "Come back tonight."
Ooh.
So I went back there that night. A woman, a friend of mine who I used to do a lot of this kind of stuff with, we went back that night. And it was kind of funny. We were walking around the ship, and I went down to the Combat Information Center of the Salem, which is, it's where in Navy movies you see the big plot board, you know, the big glass board where all the ships are. And it's not very active from a haunting standpoint, but it's the most Navy-looking room on the ship. So I wanted to go down there. And it also happens to be the tightest and steepest ladders on the ship going down to the CIC. When I got back up, I climbed up the ladder, closed the gate behind me, and as clearly as you or I are talking, I heard a dog barking at the bottom of the ladder.
Ooh.
And I looked at the guy standing next to me, and he said, "There he is. Hey, Poochie," he yelled down the ladder.
Oh, my gosh.
So he said, "You met the ship's pet."
Oh, wow.
And I, since I have a pretty good recording of that dog, and he's been heard quite a few times now. There's only one reported sighting, and I'm not sure how accurate that is, but many people have heard the dog now. So we started going back on a more regular basis. And I got to tell you, the ship is it's far and away the most active location I've ever been to. I have quite a few friends now who are heavy-duty investigators, many of which will tell you it's the most active location in New England without any question. And it seems to be getting more active all the time.
Wow. And why do you think that is? Like an increase in activity? Do you think it's, so I always kind of ask people this question when, they say things like that. Cause there are times, I mean, when we did haunted hotels, we were talking about one up in Maine, and it wasn't until there were kind of things being done to the home that the ghost showed up. So do you think it's becoming more haunted because maybe more people are going there and more energy is being put towards it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. I know that, you know, a few years back, the ship leased, the USS Salem Association leased the ship for the month of October to a guy in Massachusetts who's partnered with a guy in Las Vegas who does fright domes. That's his thing.
Cool.
So they put together what was called Ghost Ship Harbor, which was basically a haunted house in a haunted location. And that first year, a lot of things went south. And I think that first year really riled things up. I know that my part in that was legit, in that all I did really was give a little talk about the history of the ship and showed some equipment and stuff like that. We didn't really do anything. But they had a seance room that was rigged.
Oh.
And don't get me wrong. It wasn't, they weren't fleecing anybody.
It, right.
It was what it was.
Yeah.
It was all in fun. And,
right.
But I don't think the ghosts saw it that way.
Yeah.
I don't think they enjoyed it very much. And,
right.
And things really got out of hand. I mean, to the point where, we were saging that room between groups.
Oh, wow.
And it was getting to the point where it was dangerous. I mean, people were, I had a kid who was about 12 whose father brought him back out of the sands room into my room and said, "Hey, look at this picture. What does this look like?" And I said, "Looks like a bite mark to me." And he said, "Sean, show him your leg."
Oh, my gosh.
And on his calf, he had a very clear bite mark.
Oh, no. That's wild.
Of course, that kid just thought it was hilarious.
Right. Yeah, of course.
But there was a lot of that kind of stuff. And that doesn't happen on the ship. There, you know, people get touched occasionally. People get a little bit of a nudge once in a while, but nothing like that.
Hmm.
And I don't think things have turned back from that. I don't think things have ever really settled down.
Wow.
Did it 2 more years and we did a much better job of it. You know, they brought in an actual psychic. You know, that first year, that seance room, it was, you know, who wants to be the psychic tonight?
Yeah.
But then they brought in an actual sensitive and things got a little bit calmer. But I don't think anything ever really settled down after that. And, you know, the other thing is it's investigated a lot. And I know that, there's one group that's on television a lot who I won't name, but who has a reputation in the paranormal community of opening doors everywhere they go and not closing them when they leave. So, you know, they did a show on the ship years ago and they didn't seem to get much, but I know that the ship got much more active after they left.
Interesting.
So these kinds of things happen. And, you know, that's one of the great things about the ship. There are so many spirits that you really don't know where they're going to turn up. Anything can really happen anyway.
That's really, really interesting. Did you ever see the movie Hell House LLC?
Yeah. That was the one where they were doing the haunted house thing.
Yeah. Right? In a haunted house. It just reminded me of that for a second.
On Prime?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. That just reminded me of when you talk about the bait mark. So.
I'm a digression guy. That was cool.
So what do most investigators typically see? So it's not usually bite marks, but no. People see like full-bodied apparitions.
A lot of shadows, more shadows than anything else. The ship is an audio goldmine.
Really?
I mean, we have some audio. We have some audio that is far and away class A audio. I mean, you know, and one of the great things about the audio on the ship, in my experience anyway, is that it almost always is contextual. You know, we have an unbelievable EVP of a woman. We're standing outside the surgical area on the ship and we're talking about how to get in there because what they've done is they've bolted a piece of plexiglass on the door. There's a lot of stuff in there and they generally don't like people in there. And we go in, when we investigate, we go in and we're talking about how we're going to get in there. And two of the people are bucking up to see who's going to climb over the plexiglass. And I'm telling them that I can get into the back door if they give me 5 minutes. And as we're discussing this, the woman who's with us says, well, I just know that when I get in there, I want to get up on the surgical table, put my feet in the stirrups, and I want to record for a little while and see what happens. And when we listen to the audio later, shortly after she says that, you hear a woman's voice very clearly say, but how would you get there?
Ooh.
As though she was reminding us that we hadn't figured out yet how we were going to get in there. In the first place. So there really was no point in talking about what she was gonna, you know what I mean? It's almost all like that. We have some audio down in one of the crew's birthing areas. And the same woman is very concerned about the babies because there were babies born on the ship during that earthquake situation. And very concerned about where they slept. Did they sleep on these racks that the sailors slept on or what? And when we played the audio later, you hear a very soft but very clear whisper say, no cribs.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I say, it's almost all like that.
Yeah.
It's almost all contextual.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it can be, you know, there are a few spirits that we identify with certain areas of the ship. But for the most part, pretty much anything that happens aboard the ship can happen anywhere on the ship. There are some areas that are more active than others. Almost all the areas are interactive. There, to the best of my knowledge, there are only a couple of residuals on the ship. Almost everything is interactive. Some of it is touchy. But again, when I say touchy, I'm not talking about scratches and bites. I'm talking about a little grab here, a little nudge. Nothing of any kind. A lot of light activity. We had one of the last tours. The ship closes for the winter. One of the last tours we did in November, we had a pretty crazy shadow incident where we chased something around for a little while.
Ooh.
And then stood and then sat in the room and watched as this thing popped back into the room and just kind of stood there next to the door. I mean, to the point where you couldn't see the bottom of the exit sign because its head was there.
Yeah.
And the girl I was with, I don't know if you met her. She was there the night that we met, Amanda Cook. She was with us the night that we met. And she was mad because she thought it was a guy. And we were doing an EVP session. And she was like, man, you know, it's really rude not to identify yourself. We're trying to record here. And at some point I said, you know what, Amanda? I don't think that's a guy.
Wow.
And turned on our, both of us turned on our flashlights and there was nothing. There was nothing there. It was just gone.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible.
And it was crazy too because then we heard some footsteps coming down the hallway behind us. And I said to Amanda, oh, that's perfect because wherever this guy here, and they were footsteps, you know, and I said, wherever this guy came from is where that other dude went. The dude we chased. I don't know where he went, but wherever this guy came from, we'll ask him because that's where that dude went. But there was nobody there.
Oh, gosh.
And those footsteps were so real, it never even crossed my mind that it wasn't a guy coming down. Never even crossed my mind. I just assumed it was a guy.
That's incredible.
And it's, like I said, they're getting to be more regular all the time. You know, we have the tours, and I always tell people, you know, we don't rig anything, so we can't promise what's going to happen, but it's a pretty rare night when people are disappointed on the Salem. It's a pretty rare night. Doesn't happen very often.
That's really incredible. Yeah, because that was going to be my next question, is how often do people see stuff? But it sounds like it's...
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say every group we had there this summer through the fall anyway had some kind of crazy experience. We had some people there, that tour that Amanda, that I was talking about with Amanda and I, the one before that, we were down in the chief petty officer's quarters when we heard, it sounded like the whole crew running back and forth over our heads, when there was nobody there. I mean, you know, we were the only ones on the ship. Then we have that on audio. You know, and it's, like I said, it's clear as a bell. You can, and the funny thing about that, and this speaks to the interactive nature of the manifestations. One of the women in my group calls, there's another group investigating. And they're at the surgical area I was just talking about. And you hear her on the audio. You hear her say on the radio, where are you guys? And a guy says, we're at the surgery. And she says, do you hear those footsteps? And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, above us. You don't hear those footsteps above us? And he said, I don't hear anything. And no sooner does he say, I don't hear anything, than the footsteps happen again. Twice as loud.
Wow.
And he says, oh man, now I hear him.
Wow. That's wild.
You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
It's at the point where it's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's something else. I mean, it's a privilege for us to be there.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
And I'll say that even though everything I've just told you is absolutely accurate, I still get chills down my spine. You know what I mean? When it happens, I guess when that stops happening, I probably won't do it anymore. But you know what I'm saying? I still get goosebumps. I mean, it's, things happen all the time that just leave me going, holy moly.
Yeah. Wow.
And you know, one of the things too is that we learn when you get familiar with the entities and you start getting a little insight maybe into why they're the way they are. And you know, I mean, one of my things has always been that, you know, people are people, and when they die, they're still the same person emotionally, and you know what I mean? They're still the same. There's a guy back aft who we think was a cook, and I think was in charge back there, and he's a pretty nasty guy. He has a tendency to be angry a lot. He speaks very badly to women.
Oh.
And I don't know. I mean, you know, so... One of the natural assumptions is, well, he doesn't like women on the ship. I personally, and maybe it's because I was in the Navy, personally, I think he's just mad that nobody's working. That he's back there and that's where he works, and he just doesn't understand why the hell nobody else is working.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing carries, you know, one of the birthing areas that's under where that dude is where the children tend to congregate. And it's where the dog is hurt a lot. And I've often wondered if that dog doesn't hang around down there because it's concerned about that guy and the kids.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
And you know, it's one of those things. Who knows? But you just wonder, why not? I mean, yeah. You know, dogs tend to be protective that way.
And, for sure.
And maybe that's why he's down there, because he's concerned about that guy and he wants to protect those kids.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm. I don't know. But there's a lot going on there, and that's part of the fun.
Oh, I believe it. That's part of the fun. Do you ever have mediums come on? Do mediums pick up anything? Have they talked to people?
Sure, we've had many sensitives on the ship. Nobody regular. You know, we've had people in our group who are a little bit sensitive, but we've never had anybody regularly come on the ship. I'm always funny about using names. But a good friend of mine who we just talked about a few minutes ago, who's here pretty regularly, he's very uncomfortable on the ship. He is very uncomfortable on the ship. He thinks that there's way more going on than we even know, and that it's not all good. So he's very uncomfortable there.
Yeah.
He was on the TV show that we were talking about.
Okay.
So you can see that because he talks about that at length. And he was there during that Ghost Ship Harbor thing, and he fled is what he did.
Wow.
Just a few weeks in, he said, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do this anymore. So psychics have a difficult time.
Yeah, I believe that.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, so you actually got on the Travel Channel for their Most Terrifying Places with the show.
Yeah, yep.
So how did that happen? Did you guys find anything on there?
Well, we didn't, because that show isn't, like, we didn't do any investigating.
Okay.
On that show. That was more of a, you know, did some reenactments and that kind of stuff. Actually, that was the guy I was talking about. He's a scout, part-time, does scouting for the Travel Channel, and he pointed them at us. The producer reached out, and we had a great time. Yeah, Most Terrifying Places, and it's on demand. You can watch it. Had a real good time doing it. I have a whole new respect for those people, I'll tell you that, because it was a long day, and I was exhausted, and all I did was stand around most of the time, especially on the ship. Those guys lugging that stuff up the ladders, and it was a long day. It was probably a 14 or 15-hour day, but it was good. And you know, I can, unlike, you know, you watch these shows sometimes, and I got to be honest with you, tell you, I never watch any of those shows myself, but if you do, you know, you come away and you go, nah, I can tell you that everything on there was accurate. I mean, you know, I told some stories and I know they were accurate because I was there. We did reenactments of one of my experiences there.
Cool.
So yeah, it was good. It was good. And I think, I can't say too much, but I think, they're going to be filming something else there in January.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think so.
Very interesting.
So the producer said she loved the location and she really liked working with us. So we'll have another shot to get involved with that. And you know, we enjoyed it. And it's all publicity for the ship. You know, ship charges $45 a person. That's what we charge for investigations. And every penny goes to the ship. We don't make any money there. You know, we do it because it costs a lot of money to keep that thing afloat, literally. So every penny we get goes right to the ship. And it's a beautiful piece of history that if we could keep in Quincy forever, we would certainly like to do that. So.
For sure.
It's all publicity and, you know, I'm not sure. Some people say no publicity is bad publicity. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I haven't found any bad publicity.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So. If people want to do a tour, I know it's closed now, but when do you guys open up for business again?
We'll be opening up probably the middle of March.
Oh, really? That soon?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the ship is a temperature nightmare.
I would imagine.
Probably there's a period of maybe from the end of March to the beginning of maybe the middle of May where it's comfortable. Other than that, it's either 100 degrees or 20 degrees. Yeah, that's a big steel box in the water.
Yeah.
So in the summertime in particular, it can be really, really tough. But yeah, well, I think we'll open probably the middle of March. You know, it's more a matter of when they will turn the heat on.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it'll be the middle of March, and they close usually the last weekend in November, like right around Thanksgiving. Other than that, we're open all summer, all spring, all summer, most of the fall. And it's a great take. People can reach out. They can reach out to, info@thegbpa.com, or they can reach out to, USS Salem Tour @thegbpa.com. You can always go to our website, and it's pretty easy to find. Our website, I think, is pretty easy to navigate.
Really easy. Yeah, it's a great site.
Finding the Salem's pretty easy there, too. You know, I'm on Facebook and all over the place. We're on Instagram. We're pretty easy to find, and whoever you are, we would love to have you. No question about it.
Yeah, and even if you're not local to Boston, you should definitely check out their website, which is thegbpa.com. Because, like I said, you have ghost hunting 101 tips, which is very interesting.
Yep.
You have tons of galleries of different investigations you've been on, different places you've gone. And it's a cool site.
Well, I hope to hear that. And that's an iPage do-it-yourself site. There's no pros involved there, I believe.
Well, it looks great because, trust me, I'm doing our site and it takes me forever. And then I go to people like yours and I'm like, wow, they put a lot of work into this.
It's a lot of work. But you know, you're going to enjoy doing it.
Oh, absolutely. And, it's great.
You know, I know that the only times I know for sure when people read it are when I've gotten angry. I don't know if you there's one of the pages or one of the areas is called Paranormal This and Paranormal That.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some opinionated stuff there. And I've gotten some very angry. There's a page there called The Legacy of Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Mm-hmm.
And I had somebody close to the Warrens call me and tell me that at the next Paracon we were going to, you better hope you see me before I see you.
Oh, gosh. Big Paracon drama coming up.
Really?
Goodness.
You know, come on. I mean, you know, it's nice to be passionate about this stuff, but, you know, give it a rest.
Yeah, right? Oh, wow. All right. Well, this is great. And, you know, with your group, do you guys have any other big events coming up or?
You know, it's catch as catch can, you know. We'll be down at Slater Mill in Pawtucket, on the 14th of December. And I know you did an episode in the Oliver House. I think we'll be out at the Oliver House in January.
Have you guys been before?
Some of us have, some of us haven't.
It's a cool spot.
We've been down there. You know, I went down, there was a public event that a friend of mine was running. So I kind of went down just to kind of show support, but we want to do a private investigation now. I think we'll be back out in Winchington at the Murdoch Whitney Mansion here before too long. That's one of our favorite places. So yeah, we managed to keep busy. A couple of big road trips over the course of the year. We found that we really enjoy doing Paracons now. Our friend Sam Beltrusis does a huge Paracon every year. It was out in Lenox last year, but I think it's going to be in Plymouth moving forward. I think it's always going to be in Plymouth.
Yeah, I think I heard that too.
And we sponsor, you know, we're one of his sponsors. Sam's he's a prolific writer, and he's a great guy. That's who we were with. He does a showdown every year at the Lizzie Borden House, and that's where we were last weekend. He and Lucky Bocamino, who's another very talented, sensitive, Team Lucky and Team Sam, and we do a paranormal, showdown at the Borden House. He does it every year, and, we always like to take part in that because those two people, you know, you look around for people who do things the right way, and it's far too rare that you find people, and, you know, Lucky and Sam fall into this category where they're so passionate about what they do, but that passion has a wall at where doing the right thing stops. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sadly, that's not a common enough commodity in what we do. So anytime those two people do things like that, we just love to be involved with that. You know, and that's good. It's good networking. One of the reasons it's good to network like that is that we do homes. Obviously, people call, and sometimes you run into something that's just a little bit nastier than you really want to get involved with.
Yeah.
Is it you that the back of your card says?
Yeah, my back of my business card says we don't do demons.
And it was Amanda. Amanda showed me that.
Yeah.
And I said, Jesus, we should put that on the back of our cards because we don't do demons.
Right.
But, you know, we know a lot of people. And, and you know, one of our mantras sort of is that we never abandon anybody. And if something comes up and these people have something a little bit heavier going on than we really want to be involved in or think we can handle, we have a lot of people we can turn to, a lot of people that are kind of our support system that I'm always more than glad to help somebody who's got a problem like that. And honestly, Amelia, I found that those people, what they want more than anything else is to know that A, somebody believes them.
Yeah.
And that B, somebody's on their side.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I totally agree.
Most of those people who find themselves in those situations, they feel better almost immediately when you talk to them.
Yeah.
And if Pat were sitting here, he would punch me in the leg because one of his big things is we don't just automatically believe him. And he's right. We don't just automatically believe him. Pat is the perfect partner because if we were sitting in this room and all of a sudden that case lifted up and flew across the room and smashed through the wall, you and I would go, oh, my God. And Pat would say, well, yeah, but the floor's a little bit stupid. I'm not really sure.
Every team needs one of those.
I have no question
about it. Oh, gosh. Oh, well, that's great. So thank you so much for being here. This has been so much fun. Again, if people want to contact you either about a tour or having their own home investigated, how do they do that?
They can reach out to info@thegbpa.com. As I said, we're on Facebook, Greater Boston Paranormal Associates. There are plenty of ways to reach us. And, you know, if you have a situation in your home, we'd love to come and do the best we can for you. You know, you just heard me say we don't abandon anybody. So, you know, if it's something that we can't handle, we'll find somebody that can. And if you'd like to do a tour of the ship, we'd love to have you. You know, like I say, it's a great location. And I think we give our customers, everything they want and more.
Well, great. Thank you so much for being here. This has been awesome.
I feel like I never shut up. Did I talk too much?
Not at all. No, this is great.
I was afraid I talked too much.
No. This is great. This is a really good one.
Okay.
So again, yes, thank you so much. Again, you can find them online at thegbpa.com. And you can find me online at ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com on our website, which has now been fully updated, ghosthuntinginnewengland.com, Facebook and Instagram @ghosthuntinginnewengland, and Twitter, ghosthuntingne. Thank you so much to Aaron Schild for composing all of our music, as always. And if you guys would be so kind, please make sure to tell a friend about our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. If you don't think the show deserves 5 stars, please send me a private message letting me know what I can do to make the show a little bit better for you. Feel free to send a carrier pigeon to beautiful sunny Somerville, Massachusetts, care of the Somerville Media Center, where we record here at a very reasonable price, and everyone is very accommodating, and it's a great community. Please always support local artists in your own community as well. As always, I'll see you guys next week, and happy hunting.